joining us right now, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Good to see you. Wasn't a lot of fun yesterday, was it?
No. It wasn't one of our best days.
So much has been talked about the first half versus the second half. How dismayed were you in that you played well in the first half, but you seemed to leave a lot of points out there in the field? And as you've told us many times, that can change the whole context of a game if you've got a substantial lead and you force another team to play differently in the rest of the game.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think it was a great first half. I thought it was, you know, it was okay. But, you know, just overall, we just need to do a better. We just need to do a better job. We need to coach better. We need to play better. Just need to execute things better. And that's really about all there is to it. It kind of transcended everything, all the first, second, third, fourth down, offense, defense, special teams, you name it. We just need to do a better job, that's all.
A lot of the players talked about the fighting through adversity, and that players talked about we didn't do a good job of fighting through adversity. Do you believe that that was a bigger problem or the execution of what they were supposed to do in the game plan out there?
Well, I don't know. It might be related, or it might be a little bit of each. I don't know. But I mean, bottom line is we just have to play, perform better. Coaches, players, all of us, we just have to do a better job, that's all.
Did the films reveal anything that might not have been that obvious to us yesterday? Did you see anything that just jumped out?
I mean, you see more little things when you go through the film. You know, you just see more little details, and some good, some need to be improved and corrected. But I think it's just have more of an appreciation for all the little things that happen, not just the more obvious ones that stood out.
A lot of simple things like coverages, dropping coverage. When Sanchez had that rollout, Butler came up off his coverage. I don't know if that was his coverage, but it looked like it, and they get the 39-yard completion. Was that what happened on that particular play, just jumping because you saw the quarterback rolling out, not staying home?
Well, it was a short yardage play, and I think any time you're in a short yardage defense, you know, have certain guys, you know, assigned to stop the run, and then you have other guys more responsible for the deep part of the field, so you never want to give up a long pass or a run in that situation. That the secondary people, that's what they're responsible for. You know, we just, as a unit, got caught out of position, and, you know, Sanchez rolled out, had some time outside the pocket, and again, it just wasn't, you know, just wasn't played very well on our part. It was a good play for them.
On your part, I mean, the DBs, they're not supposed to jump on something. They're supposed to stay with what their initial coverage.
Well, there's no defense for it. It's designed to give a 40-yard pass. So,
well, no,
that was the design of the play.
He's not designed to jump off that receiver, obviously.
Yeah, as I said, it's really a combination of things. You know, containing the quarterback, keeping him in the pocket, covering the receivers.
What happened to the delay game on the field goal attempt? Were you guys talking on the sidelines, trying to figure out whether you were going to go for it or kick, or was this just the kicker took too much time out there and didn't call the timeout?
Well, again, we just need to do a better job of executing the play. So we didn't get it done. So it's got to be coached better. The players got to play it better. Got to get it off before the time runs out. It's as simple as that. We didn't do it. So we just have to coach it better and play it better.
Whose responsibility is to call timeout? It's like the quarterback now would be the kicker. If he sees it running down, does he have the option to call that timeout?
Well, in a field goal, the holder really is the one who's, you know, in charge of the overall operation. But I know it got close there, and looking at the kicker and waiting for him to get ready and all that. We just didn't get it. So it's just has to be done better. Has to be done better by the players. Has to be done better, obviously, by the coaches. We just got to do a better job on it, too.
The offense was moving the ball real well on the first first couple drives. Was there adjustments that didn't work, or was it the same things that didn't work, or were the Jets making the different adjustments?
Well, we didn't have much success running the ball, so we ended up in some long yardage situations, and we converted a decent amount of third downs throughout the course of the game, but not all of them. And so when we didn't convert and we had three turnovers, then that's you know, three turnovers in the second half. That's the end of those three drives, and then you know, a third down stop, and you know, pretty soon you're out of possession. So we didn't do enough when we had the ball, and we didn't defend well enough when they had it.
Welker, in the game that he played last year against the Jets, seemed to constantly, with his catches, move the chains. Looked like he did something early on in this game, and then didn't throw much to him. Did that have anything to do with the hit he took from Smith, or was he just covered and Tom didn't get to him?
Well, sometimes they double covered him. Other times, there are other options on the play. We throw the ball to Aaron and Randy, and so, you know, Gronk. I mean, there were other balls thrown there too. So, that's the way it worked out. I think we have a little more balanced passing attack probably overall than we had last year at that particular time. So with our tight ends and our depth at receiver. So, but there were times when they double covered him, no doubt about that.
It seemed like when Revis went out second half, Brady was trying to get the ball to Randy, obviously, for that matchup. Was he trying to get the ball, take advantage of that, Revis being out in the man-to-man with Cromartie?
Well, I think, as usual, Tom follows his quarterback reads, and where the reads are, that's where he goes. Sometimes there's more than one option on the play, but for the most part, I think that he went where his reads took him. And again, sometimes that could be one of two or three places, depending on the technique of the coverage and so forth. But that's I think really what it came down to. I mean, I don't think he went back there and took the snap from center and said, "Okay, I'm throwing the ball to so and so on this play." He reads the coverage out and takes what he feels like is the best option. And I'm sure there are a couple of plays Tom would like to have back, just like there's plays we'd all like to have back from yesterday. But that's the way it is.
What exactly was the Jets defense doing when Revis went out? Did it was just as simple as moving Cromartie over, or did they change anything else?
Oh, well, they mixed it up all day. They ran some zone pressure, ran some man-to-man pressure, ran some man-to-man. Didn't play a lot of just straight zone, but there a lot of, mix of man overload pressure, balance pressure off either edge, and change up their, their looks from, 1-5 and 2-4 and 2-3 and 1-4, so nickel and dime packages.
But they you didn't see anything you weren't used to seeing with the way he runs his packages.
No, those are packages that they've run all year and ran against us last year. So yeah, that wasn't anything that we didn't really have a lot of blitz pickup problems. Where guys are just coming free and quarterback didn't have a chance to get the ball off or anything. We just got to run the ball better, and when we block them, throw and catch and run routes and get open and just do a better job.
Did they blitz less in the second half of that game?
Glenn, I don't know the exact percentages, but they mixed it up. I mean, they did blitz in the second half. They tried to overload blitzes in the first half. But, they mix it up. They go in and out, and they blitz, and then they give you a look, and kind of looks like a blitz that you had, and then they cover, and then they come back and give you the same look and pressure and those kind of things. So they mix it up on you.
And that's Tom's job to audible out of something if he reads a blitz and they're trying to bait him into a certain throw. How well good are they at disguising their blitzes and their packages?
They do. I mean, they're well coached. They do a good job. I don't think it's impossible, but again, I thought we handled a lot of their pressures fairly well. We had them picked up. So we've just got to, just overall offensively, we've just got to finish our drives, get the ball in the end zone, and stay out of long yardage and not turn the ball over. Defensively, it's just the reverse of that. We got to get them in more long yardage situations, play better on third down, play better in the red area, keep them out of the end zone.
Would you explain adjustments and how it works? Because we've had this conversation before. And for some reason, fans a lot of times think that you wait until halftime to make those adjustments. And these guys have brought it up. You've got 12 minutes. You've got no time. You're making them sideline adjustments right from the beginning. What sideline adjustments were you making during the course of that game, and how early did you make them?
After the first play. you have calls, and you start to see what they're doing. you know, what formations they're giving you, where their personnel aligns, what plays they're running. There's a certain pattern of those plays. And you try to either take your calls that, you already have and adjust them to where they are, or sometimes if that's not what you want to do, then you change the call and go into a new call or a new type of call that handles something that they're doing, whether that's blocking a blitz or defending a particular formation or play or whatever it happens to be. So it can you can make different types of adjustments. In the end, it's something that you think will better handle what they're doing than what you have.
You said earlier that you picked up the blitz pretty well in the pass protection as well. Some of the blitz packages, the faking them, makes you call for extra protection, correct? If Brady feels like they come with a blitz, they may call for someone else to stay in.
Well, again, it depends on what the original call was. Sometimes you have protections called and you have enough people to block it. Other times you have fewer guys in protection and more guys releasing, like when we're in empty formations and things like that. So it just depends on what the call is.
So most of the Jets' defense, obviously, is pressure. The quarterback is like to bring a lot of guys, and with the protection pretty good.
I wouldn't say most of it. I'd say a third of it, maybe 40% of it. I wouldn't say most of it's pressure.
The most of it, and disguising the blitzes and changing it up. So what was the reads off? Was the routes being jumped on and Tom was reading? Because it looked the second half very difficult getting that ball to the right guy or getting the ball to an open receiver.
There were plenty of plays where we did, and then there were some where we didn't. I mean, unfortunately, we, you know, a combination of things, didn't have the ball as much in the second half. Part of that was because we turned it over and went three and out. Part of it was because we didn't stop them on defense, and they held the ball different than the first half or the first quarter when we got it back for the offense after that first, you know, their drive. They were out three and out, so we had a long drive. Missed field goal. They had a short drive, had the ball back. So, all those things play off each other.
With such a young defense, particularly in the secondary and somewhat in the linebackers, where does the leadership come from on this defense?
I think it comes from everybody. I think everybody's out there has their own, you know, in terms of leadership, they have their own attitude, they have their own playing style, and they have their own in a way that they relate to the rest of their teammates. So I think that goes for every individual that's on the field. And I don't think it's necessarily about, you know, giving big team speeches. It's about playing well and doing your job and making decisions that are in the best interest of the football team. I think that's what really, you know, leadership boils down to.
And Brandon Merriweather not getting the start yesterday, that was out of something that happened during the week? Or during the
No, I wouldn't say that. No, I mean, Brandon played yesterday. So did James. So did Patrick. They all played. They all contributed. And I think they'll all three continue to do that in the future. I don't think who necessarily is out there for the first play of the game is the most significant thing. We'll get playing time and production from hopefully all those guys.
So he's not in the doghouse or anything, Merriweather?
No, I wouldn't say that. Okay.
I know you've said this many times to us, that each season is its own entity. Last year's team had a lot of difficulty winning out on the road. 2-6 out on the road. One of those games was in England. We've only seen the first road game here. Obviously wasn't good. Is it a trend that you're concerned with?
Well, we want to win every game, home and away. So we want to play well on the road, and we want to play well at home. So that'll be our goal every week. Nothing's changed. We'll do whatever we feel like's best to win that game. And whether it's home, away, or at a neutral site, we're gonna do our best to win that game. I don't see that changing. It does change from game to game on what the methods are or the maybe the approach is, but the end result will be that's the same goal.
Could it be? I mean, you're coming up with the same game plan whether you're playing the team at home or on the road. You're basing it on their strengths, their weaknesses, yet you're playing it in their home field with their crowd versus your home crowd. Is that a difference with some players, that some players just can't fight through that, especially young players who seem to, once they're feeling that hostile crowd and the game starts snowballing, that on the road they act and perform much differently than they do when they're at home?
I can't say that I could, pinpoint that on any recent experiences. I think performance is performance. We have some bad plays at home. We have some good plays on the road. We just need to play better. We just need to play better than we played yesterday, whether that game was at home or on the road. And there were certainly a lot of corrections and improvements from the Cincinnati game that we needed to make. The result was good. We're happy with the win, but there were things in the game that were not the way that we need to do them. So I think that's part of it every week.
We've seen Sanchez at different levels. Yesterday he had a very good game. He was hitting things. What enabled him to perform so well? It seems like he's a couple of timing patterns. He just threw it under pressure. What was the lack of defense that was giving him the ability to complete those passes, or the presence of offense?
Again, I would just give them credit for the plays that they made and say that I hope that we would be able to, the next time we play them and this week, that we would be able to play a little better defensively in every area, whether it's defending the run, defending the pass, situational football, you name it. I think we need to do a better job in all areas.
Is there an intensity issue or an ability to react to adversity issue with your team on the road?
Yeah, I didn't really get that sense yesterday. I think it was just more of a being able to execute and do the things that we needed to do.
Yeah, because when they went that 41 seconds the second half and kicked the field goal, it seemed to kind of change their whole attitude in the first half, right at the end of the half when they drove 41 yards, because we hadn't seen the Jets perform that well offensively.
On the second possession, they drove with the length of the field for a touchdown, so we just – again, didn't really execute well in the two-minute situation. Gave up a couple plays there with, we had pretty good field position to start with the touchback, and then we gave up a couple passes that put them into the better field position, and then they tried to throw the last play there to, I guess, a quick slant to Cotchery. We defended that and made it a 49-yard field goal that they made. So I thought played that last situation okay, but we had given up too many yards to put them into a long-distance field goal, and then they made it. So it wasn't good enough two-minute defense.
Kevin Falk went out with an injury. Is there any news at all on that today? We've been stuck here in the bowels.
Yeah, no, I know they've done some tests on today, and we'll wait and see what the results of those are.
Okay. We will break down the Buffalo Bills. That's the home game coming up this Sunday. It's coming up next right here on Patriots Monday, live in Foxborough. Patriots Monday, live down here at Gillette. I'm Glenn Ordway, Freddie Smirla, Steve Diassi, the coach, Bill Belichick, and the Buffalo Bills on the docket coming up next on Sunday. Chan Gailey has already made a change at quarterback coach with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Obviously, you guys are well aware and have seen enough of him, I would think.
Oh, we've seen him in the past, both Buffalo and Cincinnati. But a smart guy, good arm, athletic. Seems like he's got a lot of his teammates and the team has a lot of confidence in him. It seems like he handles the team well on the field. So, yeah.
Is that sometimes a kind of a nervous moment when a team makes a change at quarterback? Because a lot of times, suddenly, not that you haven't seen this guy before, but that the rest of the team, for some reason, might get a little bit jacked up for something like that. Especially if they're not happy with the last guy.
Well, I think sometimes there's something to be said for, forget about the opponents, but just telling your team, this is who our starting quarterback is this week, and take that whatever doubt or conversation or opinions or whatever on your team, just take that out of it and say, okay, this is the way we're going. This is who our starting quarterback is. And I think that can solidify things on your team, even though it might let the opponents know who it's going to be. More importantly, I think you're concerned with what your team's mental frame of mind is going into the game. And I think that can be a positive thing when you tell everybody this is our guy, but like whoever it is.
The situation may be a little different in Buffalo because they had three quarterbacks and never declared a starter at the beginning of the season. So it's not like you're taking out a guy that's been starting there for 8 years. They had no declared starter starting the season, which is a little unusual. So I think it's not quite as shocking a move when they do something like that.
Yeah, well, regardless of how they handled the preseason or not, I'm just saying based on the first two games when he, when Chan announced the change in the quarterbacks today, I think that he probably did it with the intent of you know, given the confidence and stability to his team. And and again, I think in the end, that's where the most important thing as a coach is where your team's mentality is. You don't want to give the opponents any more information than you have to, but there's nothing more important than your team. So that would be my guess as to why I did it that way. And I probably would do the same thing if I felt like that.
Who are their playmakers on offense?
Well, their backs. I mean, Lee Evans, of course, he's their home run threat, but they've got three real good backs with Jackson, Lynch, and Spiller. And, of course, you know, Parrish is a returner receiver, very elusive and hard to tackle. And so they've got a couple big receivers, too. You know, Nelson, a kid from Florida. So they're, you know, they've got really a good group of skill players.
What's your scouting report on C.J. Spiller? Because, man, he looks like he's quick and shifty. And
yeah, returner, you know, fast guy, return guy. Very good in space, open field. Decent power, not a real power runner, but, you know, runs hard, breaks tackles. And is a very athletic and change of pace, fast guy that kind of everybody's got to be at the point of attack. Even if he starts one way, he can come to the other side and, you know, turn nothing into something in a hurry, which, you know, Lynch is very capable of that as well. I think Jackson's, you know, he's their wildcat guy, and they use him as I don't want to say an inside runner because he's capable of more than that, but, you know, we saw him in the last game there of the 08 season, and you know, he ran the ball pretty well. So, you know, he's a quality player too.
Chan Gailey's been around for a while, obviously coordinator a bunch of places and coach whatnot. You should be pretty familiar with his schemes and his offensive philosophies.
You know, he I'd say for the most part, yes, but then his last year in Kansas City, which was the 07, 08 season, you know, he ran a lot of the pistol offense with Thigpen. Mm-hmm. And then in 09, last year, when he was there in preseason and then released at the end of preseason, then he kind of went back to more of a conventional offense. But in the opening game last week against Miami, Buffalo ran that pistol kind of offense that they had run in Kansas City and kind of sprung that on Miami. So he's got some variations and variety in what he does offensively, and he'll throw some wrinkles at you. So we're kind of, you know, wildcat and the pistol look, and then their regular offense. So he gives you a lot of things to get ready for.
How much difference is the defense? I mean, it's hard to change when you have a certain personality. You can't change them all to your liking right off the bat.
Well, the big change is they're, you know, they've gone from a 4-3 to a 3-4. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's a big change, kind of similar to what we've seen in Miami.
No Schobel.
Yep. No Schobel. But, you know, we still got to rock Stroud and, you know, there's still plenty of guys to get up there. But they're just, the scheme's a little bit different. And you know, now that really the kind of the whole division is a little bit of a 3-4 defense, even though the Jets play a decent amount of over and under and four-man line, they still kind of base things out of a 3-4. So, you know, this is more like the old Miami 3-4, which has now changed this year with Mike Nolan going down there. So we have a little different 3-4 version than what the Dolphins run, but similar to what we saw last year with Edwards.
I know you spend time every week on special teams, but how much more emphasis when you get a Buffalo game in that they score a lot of their points off of special teams?
Well, they're very good in the kicking game. They always have been, as are the Jets. And so that'll be a big point emphasis for us this week. It is every week, Len. But we really put a lot of time in. I think Scott O'Brien does an excellent job preparing the players. And we've had good production in the kicking game. Not perfect, but good. But that'll be a big emphasis point for us this week. And, you know, good specialist, Moorman especially, is a game changer with his ability to you know, boom them and also run the ball out of punt formation. So, but he can put you on the other end of the field in a hurry. He's got a big leg.
Buffalo always seems to have decent special teams, even they change coaches. Even though you beat them offensively, defensively, they make big plays, like Glenn alluded to, on special teams. What's the consistent rote factor there? You know, they have some good return guys, but they seem to play all the special teams pretty well.
Yeah, well, I think it starts there. I think it's having good specialists, you know, having good kickers, good snapper, good returners, and then, you know, putting that together with your scheme and the rest of your core players. But it's hard to really be good in the kicking game if your specialists don't play well or if they're not, you know, good players, then that that kind of brings you up short in the actual kicking and returning part of it, which is so important to the overall success. So, you know, that's where it starts, and that's been a pretty constant an area for him.
While we're on special teams, Stephen Gostkowski's uncharacteristically struggled in the first two games, missing three field goals. Any concerns there?
Well, sure. Every time we send that team out there, it's to score points, and we don't score them, then nobody's happy with that. Coaches, Steve, the player, anybody. So we got to do a better job of converting those scoring opportunities, and that's again, it's a team thing. It's certainly a lot of it falls on his shoulders as the kicker, but you know, it's still a team thing in terms of timing and protection and so forth. So we've been working on it. We got to keep working on it, and we've got to make those opportunities count.
No problems with the new holder?
Well, no, I wouldn't. Not major problems, but everything can be improved and fine-tuned. So that's, you know, we've got to keep working harder on that. But I mean, we haven't had, you know, mm-hmm. drop snaps right. and things like that. But it all needs to be a little bit better than it's been. The ball's got to go through the uprights when we send that team out there. That's why they're on the field.
The orange shoe could be a distraction. You never know. That could be a possibility.
Bill, when you bury this game, you watch it, and then you move on quickly. But you emphasize.
As soon as this show's over, Fred.
We dug a hole out back. Let me help you.
All right.
I sat there stunned at Stobbs last night. By myself.
All right, well, let me ask you one more since it's time now for the coach's question of the week brought to you by autotrader.com. Visit tailgate.autotrader.com to enter the ultimate ticket and tailgate giveaway. So we'll ask you one more about it. You talked after the game, you talked here about we got to do a better job of playing, a better job of coaching. Do you sit down with the coaches after a game like this or any game and look back at the game plan and say, guys, this is where we screwed up. We went into this game, we thought we had one game plan, and this doesn't work against this team, against this personnel, because they're doing something differently. And do you make adjustments going forward for the next time you face this team based on the critique that you do today?
Well, I would say the answer overall to that question is absolutely. We, when the game's over, we sit down as a unit, offensively, defensively, and special teams, and go back and review the game. What things do we do well? What things didn't we do well? What were the big plays in the game? What caused them? Or where were the breakdowns? Or where was the execution? What were we able to take advantage of? And talk about things that we would do differently the next time we played them. Well, if we had an opportunity to play them again, what changes would we make based on what happened in this game? What personnel mismatches in our favor or maybe in their favor? Did we should we treat a little bit differently? Should we give more help, or we gave too much help, or whatever it happens to be? And look at all that. And there's always things on there that you could improve on, do differently, spend more practice time on. We worked on this, but not as much because for whatever reason. And the next time we play in the scenario, we need to. So we're always doing that. We critique ourselves. We critique the game, all of it, the coaching, the playing, the practice, all the things that lead up to it. And then the next time we play that team, we go back and look at our notes, and then it refreshes us pretty quickly. Right, here's the things we really got that we said right after the game from last time while it's fresh in our minds, and we take those into consideration for the next game, which will have its own set of circumstances, but I think it's a good starting point. So, absolutely, we would do that every week.
All right, we can close the door on the Jets. Buffalo next week. Good luck on Sunday. We'll see you back
good
here
luck,
on
Coach.
Monday.
All right, sounds all right. good. All right, have thanks, good Fred, one. Steve, Glenn. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bill Belichick right here on Patriots Monday on The Big Show.